You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to another episode of the Study Clicks podcast. This episode is a really good one because me and Emer are not alone this week and talking our usual spiels, Emer in particular.
And
sorry, just went straight for the juggler in the first like 30 seconds of the podcast. But we're really lucky to be joined by Aoife, who is StudyClicks' content manager, among loads of other things, and she's also our expert in Irish. So welcome to the podcast, Aoife.
Thanks for having me.
Woohoo! Welcome. We're very excited to have a guest. We haven't had a guest in so long.
We love when we can talk to someone else.
We keep promising people that we'll have guests and then we never do it. And then we're finally got there. So yeah, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this podcast for a while. Irish is something that everyone has to do other than a couple of people who are exempt. So it's definitely relevant for all those fifth and sixth years out there. If you're younger than 50 or 60, then you can definitely keep listening if you want some tips. We'll probably talk about some general Irish learning stuff anyway, so it could be relevant for junior cert, but generally this podcast is for 50 and 60s.
Yeah, I know people can really struggle with Irish, and it's something that is brought up again and again about like how it's taught in schools and language in general. It's a tough language, like grammar in particular. There is so much stuff that you can easily fall down on. But we're going to go through the entire course today. Aoife's going to take us through. She's going to give her best tips. She got a H1 and we're going to do our best to make sure that you can get the best result that you can possibly get too. So keep listening.
Yeah, and Nessa and I can chime in as well. We are both from a Gaeltacht area, but we're just annoying Gaeltacht who don't actually speak the language properly. We can chime in as well, but Aoife's definitely our expert here on this one. So I think to start us off, Aoife, you were mentioning earlier before we started recording that it's kind of interesting the layout of the paper and the course and how much of it actually is studied and not studied.
Yeah, for sure. I think Irish is kind of one of those daunting subjects just because I know you've been studying it for years, like 14 years since junior infants. You've been learning it, but I feel like, you know, sometimes it's not taught properly. You might get a bad start with a bad teacher and then, you know, from then on, you'll always hate it. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. You put a lot of work into it and, you know, you'd be okay. So yeah. 67% of the paper is stuff you're actually not meant to study for. So yeah, that is in itself very daunting. Yeah, for some students, oh, great, I don't have to study for 70% of this exam. But yeah, it is interesting. But I definitely don't think there's any point in disregarding it altogether just because you find it hard or you don't like it. The exam itself actually isn't that difficult to do well in, and people generally tend to do better than they actually expect.
Yeah.
So 40% of your exam is your oral exam. So that's actually, you know, 40%. You can pass the whole exam by just doing okay in your oral exam. And then if you do like mediocre in the rest of your exam, you know that you've done a good oral exam. So you're kind of covered. So yeah, 40%, that's a huge chunk of your marks. Then moving on, you have 10% of your exam is listening. Again, it can be difficult, but if you practice it, it's really not that bad. And then on top of that, on top of the rest of the unseen stuff is your comprehension, which is about 17% of your exam. But like 5 out of 6 questions for the comprehension, you copy word for word from the text. So, you know, it definitely is doable and you shouldn't really be scared by it. So, you know, when you put it into perspective, it's not that bad.
Yeah, once you break it down like that, it's not as bad, I think. I suppose what scares a lot of people and what definitely scared me when I was doing it was the oral 100%, just such nerves of talking to anyone who wasn't someone I knew. And then, yeah, I think the essays catch people as well, just because they have to be around 3 or 4 pages. And if Irish just isn't your strong suit, like you were saying, it's essentially the fact that 67% of it isn't studied. It sort of means that you just have to know Irish, yeah, and have to be kind of good enough at it that you can write 3 pages without studying it. That's a big ask for people who didn't grow up in a Gaeltacht area or didn't enjoy it in primary school or didn't even have it in primary school, for example, you know. So those are the biggest areas to tackle, and we will tackle them in a moment. We'll get down deeper into those specific areas. Well, I suppose to start off, the oral exam, we're not going to talk about that much in this podcast because we have a specific podcast dedicated to that specifically. So if you just came to the podcast to listen to about the oral exam, then do check out the Bail Trail one that myself and Nessa have recorded. earlier. It was more than a year ago at this stage, Nessa, is it? But it's
one of the first ones I wrote, so you'll have to, or one of the first ones that we recorded, so you'll have to scroll all the way
but
down
it's
to
there
find
and
it,
it's definitely relevant and helpful, so
it's there.
Go check that out. So we're not going to talk about the oral, but then I suppose the first thing that you would be confronted with on the exam is the listening section. Do you want to take us?
Yeah, so the listening section is kind of the first exam you'll sit on, kind of apart from obviously your oral exam, which, you know, you did back in April time. But yeah, so your oral exam is worth 60 marks out of your 600. So it's 10% of your total exam. So it's definitely worth putting time and effort into it because, you know, 10% is, you know, it's a huge chunk of your marks. So I suppose one of the main things to remember at your listening exam, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I can't study for it. I can't learn something off. I can't learn off what something means. It's kind of, you know, it is unpredictable. So people, you know, don't go near it. They say, oh, I'll get what I get. But, you know, that's actually not the case at all. I was terrible at listening back at junior cert level and in first year. And I found all the different conunts in Irish.
All the dialects.
Yeah, the dialects. And they're really difficult to understand. And I obviously found the Donegal one really difficult to understand. Like, they literally say things in different ways. They have different ways of saying everything. And it is totally confusing. And in first year, that was impossible for me. So I think that one of my teachers in first year, I remember her saying that, you know, practice, 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 and you'll do better, then, you know, you'll really improve. And she was telling us that, like, the people, the voices on the exam, so from the State Exam Commission, the people who do the voice, they're actually the same year on year. So you can actually get used to the way someone's speaking. And then I remember on the day of the exam, this man, I think he had like Connemara Irish or something. And I remember his voice because I'd been practicing it and practicing it. Aww. And then on the day of the exam, I felt like I knew him. Do you know?
My friend.
And like his voice came up and I remember thinking, oh my God, he sounds familiar. Like, I know this man. So yeah, it is totally much easier to understand if you're used to the way someone, you know, talks, the way they say certain words.
That's so true. I remember, because it's the thing that everyone like dreads, the Donegal person comes up on the tape because they do come up every year, like,
yeah,
it's guaranteed. And I remember practicing it in class and like getting one question wrong, and it was just like, oh, where is this competition taking place? And the answer was like Gweedore, which is obviously like famous Gaeltacht in Donegal, but I had no idea how to spell it. I spelled it like G-W-E-E, like how it was phonetically pronounced in English. Yeah. And I remember thinking, oh God, I have to remember that's a place and spelt like how I would pronounce it, as Gweedore. And I remember just like that sticking in my head, and it actually came up in my own Leaving Cert then, the same Gaeltacht area, yeah. And it was the same, it was the answer to a question as well. So it repeats itself a lot.
Yeah, there's tips and tricks that for things that kind of show up again and again, like that, what you were saying, that they tend to always talk like it's a radio ad and it's talking about a summer course that's happening in a Gaeltacht area. So you can definitely study for the listening exam, even though you're saying you felt like many people don't, but you can like familiarize yourself with the name of Gaeltacht because they tend to come up, and how you spell them. Spelling is actually quite important for the listening exam. You get dot marks if you don't spell things properly. But like, also the same thing goes, I'm sure we have some Donegal listeners who are like, yeah, well, what about the Munster accent? That's crazy.
Your dialect is
which,
stupid.
Which is also, as in like, and I think that's so funny about the Irish language, that it is so different. Like, our mom is from Donegal. Uh-huh. And I remember I always thought like, oh, I can do that part, no problem, because my mom's from Donegal. But then I realised, actually, she never speaks Irish with us because she was bullied out of it when she moved to Cork.
Yeah. Like, so much
everyone just
said,
made
I
fun.
Know.
Yeah. So like...
But like, even if I went... If I'm from Dublin, so say I went down to Kerry and heard someone in Kerry speak English, you know, there's certain things that they'll say I won't understand, and I'll be like, come again, come again. And that's in English. So like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's the exact same in Irish. If you're not used to someone's... pronunciations of things, you know, you can get cut out, but it is just about practice and getting used to it, I suppose. And you know, if you actually break the oral exam down, it's actually easier to study than you think. There's three sections. The first two are advertisements, the second two are conversations, and then the third section you're listening to two news pieces. So like, if you familiarize yourself with the vocabulary that comes up in an ad for the Fogra, you know, Dáil to Deireanach, that comes up every single year. The deadline or the date you have to have the application in for, or whatever.
Yeah.
So just like the same vocab is coming up year on year for the ads. So obviously for part B, then you have your conversations. And yeah, that is definitely more difficult to kind of prepare for because, you know, it's more general. But then like for the news statements, there's always job advertisements. the incidents happening, fires, floods, getting used to words like that come up year on year. And whoever writes the exam, they tend to go back, maybe have a look at like 2002's paper and be like, oh, what hasn't come up in a while? And they tend to just like pick the same and repeat it again. So you can kind of get used to it, can have a bit of an inclination about what's going to be asked. But I suppose even if you don't know, have a guess. Don't leave anything blank. If you understand the question in Irish, you can kind of have a guess what the answer might be.
Yeah, for sure.
At the end of the exam, like you have your paper still, you can, you know, run through, have I left anything blank, just give it a guess. You never know, you might get it right.
That's so true. Never leave a blank on the exam. You never know, you'll get it, you could get it completely right, like
never.
Yeah, but like another thing I feel like it's definitely not true that you can't study or prepare at least for the listening exam. And I'm going to plug another one of our podcasts now, which is How to Learn a Language. And in that one, we talk about the importance of training your ear to a specific language. So it's not just for Irish, it's whatever subject you're studying, whatever language you're studying. But the idea of like, it doesn't feel particularly productive in the moment when you're listening to a language and not a lot of it is going in, or you're not really understanding every single word. But there is definitely value to sticking on Radio na Gaeltachta or TG Car or whatever it is. Like you do get a mix of the dialects and the Canúintí in, if you're watching TG Car as well, you know, you get Dath O'Shea, who's the thick Kerry accent, but you might also get people from Connemara, you know. So I know it's like daunting, no one really wants to stick on TG Car, but you know, for the 6 months in the run-up to your exam or whatever it is, like just do it every now and then. And it mightn't feel very productive, like I said, but you are training your ear, you are sort of just adjusting it to the Irish language, and it will make it easier at the end of the day or when you're doing the exam, because you'll have practiced listening to the language. Whereas if you go into the exam with only ever having heard Irish when you're sitting in that Irish class in school, then it's not really going to be enough. Like you do have to put in a bit of extra work to try and listen to the language outside of school and outside of your study.
Another thing I want to say, because I remember being told in school to watch like TG Cahir, and I'm being like, oh, I don't really want to watch TG Cahir when I could just like, after I do my homework, like I would just want to relax and not kind of have to pay attention to learning Irish from SpongeBob, you know. But and it's like, this might go over the heads of people who are in school now, but TG Cahir has had a program back in the day that's now up on its player, this really cringy, cheesy reality TV show called Passion Fashion. It's so funny. It's so
most amazing show.
It's so weird. It's got loads of like early 2000s fashions, but it's like a dating show. Like it's ridiculous. So if I will say, like, that is like a really fun way of kind of telling yourself you study Irish if you watch this terrible Irish reality TV show from the early 2000s. Could you?
For those who don't know, I don't know what Passion Fashion is. It's a guy who, no, it's three guys and one girl, and they meet the girl once, I think, and then the guys have to go off and go shopping.
They don't meet her at the beginning. They don't know what she looks like. Yeah.
So what are they basing the fashion? Anyway, so the three lads have to go off shopping and they have to buy clothes for the girl based off nothing, apparently.
No, they do. She gives a description of her style at the beginning. I remember that now. Oh, I watched a lot of episodes over lockdown.
Anyway, so at the end, she tries on the three outfits and
she doesn't know which lad has chosen which outfit for her. Yeah.
And then she has to choose at the end based on which outfit she liked the most, who she goes on a date with.
Yeah, and then she has to go on a date with some lad.
You've never heard of this, have you, Aoife?
I think I've seen one episode before. I think that might have been my procrastination a day before one of the exams. I feel like I have seen it maybe once before.
Oh, but what God, a way to choose so a man. Funny. Yeah, but I'm not sure if that one's also on the player, Nessa, but there's the Pjok de Ride, which is...
Oh my God, same, yeah.
A similar concept whereby there's three girls who do a rally lap around a race course somewhere in a rally car, and then the guy has to choose the girl based off who did the most impressive lap. So those are both wonderful resources of Irish that you can go listen to and watch, which we highly recommend.
And you're still learning.
Exactly.
I say, yeah, like even doing something ridiculous and fun like that, your brain is taking in the Irish that's being spoken the whole time. Like I remember that I had watched like four episodes in one night, and then I was just like starting to kind of go back, and then I was kind of wanting to like talk to people in Irish. I was just like, because I'd only heard Irish for like the last like 2 hours, and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, my brain was kind of taking in that information the whole time, and it was getting used to the Irish again, where, like, I feel like I haven't really spoken it since I was in school and having to do exams and stuff. So it, like, it totally helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you can, like, subconsciously be training your ear in by listening to, like, the past exam papers, the oral tapes from the past exam papers. And that's made really easy by study clicks. If, you know, if you go into the questions by topic page, just click into a topic there and, you know, you can literally just press play and listen away to one of the old recordings. And it's literally, like, the easiest thing ever. You can be doing jobs around your room. You can be making your bed in the morning. You can be out for a little walk. And you can click on one of the tapes, you know, even if you're not doing the questions, even if you're not answering questions, you're tuning your ear into people talking and getting used to the different voices, and you're picking up more than you realize. And the other thing about practicing your listening is that I kind of find it like a nice little study break. So say, for example, like I was studying biology from 3 until 7, and there was just loads happening, loads of definitions to learn. And a lot to take in. You know, the aerial is a really nice way to kind of break it up. They're only about 30 minutes long, so you get a whole one done, 30 minutes, that's your study done for 10% of your oral exam, for 10% of your Irish exam, and, you know, it's a break from your biology study. So you've got loads done, you've had a break, but you haven't had to sit there and learn a definition and learn piles and piles of essays. Do you know what I mean? And it's 10% of your exam, so twice the amount going for your poetry question, which people spend, you know, hours and hours stressing over.
That's so true about, like, Irish, but, like, the proportionate amount of time you spend preparing, I didn't really realize that until after I did the Leaving Cert. I was like, why did I spend so much time doing that when there was so much more marks going for this? But yeah,
I know, that was one of the things my teacher in sixth year drilled into us. She was like, divide your time on two things, based on two things, like, number one, what you're best at. So, like, don't spend loads of time on something you know you're brilliant at. You know, if you think you're amazing at your oral, yeah, 40% of your marks are going for it. But if you're already really good at it, or if you go to a Gael school, if you think you're going to ace it anyway, there's no point in spending 40% of your time on it. But the other thing is, base your study time on the percentage it's going for in the exam. So, say everyone gets stressed about poetry, as I was saying, and learning about the filler, and learning about the poet's work and life and work and all this kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, it's only 5% of your exam compared to, you know, the 10% going for your aerial exam and that you don't spend any time looking at. So, you know, it's about putting things into perspective, and you know, I suppose that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, so moving on, after that, paper one is literally just writing the essay. So it goes by very quickly once you have the listening section done. What kind of tips do you have for us, Aoife, in terms of getting the essay done on time and getting the top marks?
Yeah, I don't think timing is going to be an issue at all on paper one. You have so much time to write your essay. Like, your listening is only 20 to 30 minutes, really not much longer than that. So that doesn't take up a lot of time at all. So you have so much time to write your essay. So yeah, like, I know paper two, you are a little bit pushed for time, but paper one, you know, you can relax. They're only really expecting about 3 or 4 pages. Like, you can write more if you want. But yeah, you really don't have to stress over timing, I suppose, in this exam. But definitely try and finish within the time and a few minutes to spare, so you can obviously look over your work and check your spelling and everything, because spelling is actually very important in this part of the paper. So yeah, definitely be careful with your grammar, spelling, timing. But yeah, I think people find the essay really, really daunting, just because you can, like, learn off an essay on education and system, and then say on the day, maybe the topic will come up on the exam, but they might change it slightly. So they might only ask you the second level education system in Ireland, and they can make them really specific. So yeah, like, maybe a few years ago, the questions were more general. But, you know, in the last few years, you know, the state exam are moving away from these really specific questions, and moving away from wanting students to write off a learned off question. So yeah, like, if you're not great at coming up with stuff on the spot, yeah, it is your only option to learn something off. But my main tip here would be to prepare topics and vocab related to those topics and sentences related to the topics and learn them, rather than learning off a full essay. Because sitting down with a 4-page essay, I don't know about you, but that's just impossible in my mind. Yeah. You'd be driven demented learning off 10 4-page essays, and then they mightn't even come up, and then you're going to stress even more. So I know a lot of people, one of my best friends actually, she went into the exam and she read the question slightly wrong, and she thought it was, I think it was to do with homelessness, but she thought it meant poverty. So she wrote a general essay on poverty. But because even though she wrote a good essay about poverty and there was stuff about homelessness in it, the examiner knew she hadn't understood the question. So she ended up she got docked a lot of marks. So yeah. I recommend actually checking out the StudyClicks flashcards. I actually wrote these ones, and there's loads of connecting phrases and linking phrases, which are really good for your essay if something comes up that you haven't fully prepared. And these connecting sentences can really help you, you know, tie together paragraphs you've learned of, rather than, you know, having to write a full essay and having to be totally fluent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like, those flashcards are brilliant. But it's funny, like, myself and Nessa, the last podcast we did was a Q&A episode, and we literally got asked that question, like, how do you recommend learning off essays? And we said essentially the exact same thing that you said there. Like, the time that you are going to spend memorizing 10 plus essays is a lot more time than you would spend just learning key phrases and spending the time trying to improve your grammar, so that you actually know how to just form an essay without having to learn off the whole thing word for word. So definitely that, like, I know, and we were saying, like, if it just isn't your thing, that it is hard to just kind of say, oh well, it's very easy for you guys to say just learn the language, like, it's not easy for everyone. But I still believe, like, the time you would spend memorizing it is still going to be more than the time you would spend just learning off key phrases per topic, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just not worth the stress of the choice not even coming up. Like,
yeah,
you would spend so much time trying to memorize.
Yeah, and it's the same for French, it's the same for Spanish, whatever you're doing.
When you think about it, three to four pages, and you have to write an introduction to every essay, you have to write a conclusion to every essay. Most of the time, the introduction can be half a page, conclusion can be half a page. You know, you can have really general introductions and conclusions, which you can use over and over again between essays. So that will kind of work in every single essay, and that's like already a page and a bit gone. And same as for a debate, you have the same opening, the same closing, and, you know, you've already written loads and you're not expected to write that much overall. So you have a lot done already before you even start writing and answering the question. Do you know what I mean? I suppose it's kind of one of those things, you have the choice to do a short story as well. I think everyone's kind of told don't go near them because it's really hard to get marks in them. So yeah, we were told don't go near
such it. A baller move going I for know, the short story.
But yeah, I think it is quite difficult to pick up marks in it. So I think you have to be really, really fluent in Irish to do well in that one. So yeah, I would avoid that one.
Yeah.
The debate is a nice one. I think I liked the debate one because you can choose a side, you have a nice opening, you can address the audience loads. The one thing about Irish is it's different to French, it's different to your other foreign languages, because they're expecting you to be, you know, answer a question like you would in English. You know, use your connecting phrases, phrase things nicely, use proverbs. Not to have sentences that are kind of not connected. So yeah, that is a challenge at the same time, in a debate, you have to take those skills you have from English and use them in Irish. So, and it's actually not that bad. And it's not that bad when you actually start doing it. I suppose one of the things is practice. I personally wouldn't say it's a good idea to, you know, learn off an essay given to you by your teacher. I think it's much better to write your own. Even like short essays, if you have them, short essays on very specific topics, just write one page essays about very specific topics. Like, for example, one tiny part of the health system or a tiny scandal in the health system. And you never know, that could work in a random essay, or, you know, there might be an essay about a general essay about problems in Ireland or something. So yeah, if you do it yourself, you're again subconsciously learning, because you might have three or four sample essays open in front of you. There's loads on StudyClick, so I know I use these ones. And then you combine those ones with another essay. So you have all these different notes in front of you and you're reading them all, you're learning them all, and then you're combining all of them and writing an essay. So you've actually subconsciously learned and you've written an essay.
Yeah, and like if you have to memorize something, you're going to remember something that you wrote yourself better than something that someone else wrote.
Yeah.
So like if at the end of the day you really feel like your only way is to memorize something, then you're better off at least first writing out an essay that you've put together yourself, as opposed to just literally copying.
Yeah, 100%. And examiners know straight away if you've copied off an essay or learned off an essay. There are some ground schools out there and a lot of students will, you know, write the exact same essay and it's going to be very obvious to an examiner, and it is kind of risky. Because, like, there is a good chance that you and three people in the same room as you will have the same essay written. And, you know, if you're the examiner correcting papers, are you going to give the best grade to someone who has written the same essay as someone else, or someone who might have more simple Irish but, you know, has added personal opinion, has used, like, personal examples or anecdotes or something like that? You know, for example, in the health system, if you're talking about the health system, you might give a personal anecdote. You might talk about your grandmother, give your opinion on the health system, make it personal. And the examiner is going to be more interested in what you have to say. But usually when it's personal, it's easier to actually talk about. You know, in Irish, we're all used to talking about ourselves and talking in the I form. So if you're not that good at Irish, or if you don't feel like Irish is your strong point, you know, talk in the personal. You know, talk about yourself, give your opinion, and, you know, not only does it sound brilliant, but it's actually easy to talk about.
So that sums up paper one. Moving on to paper two, which is mostly stuff that you've done in advance, like the poetry and the prose and all that. But it first starts off with the comprehensions, which I think is kind of like a good way of easing you into it. So do you want to talk us through the comprehensions and maybe little tips for us, Aoife?
Yeah, sure. So the comprehensions are actually a lot more important than you think. So there's two of them. They're the first two questions on paper two, so they're the kind of first two things you'll be doing, and they're actually worth 50 marks each, which is 100 marks in total, which is actually half of your whole paper two are these two comprehensions.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot, and they're really, really not difficult at all, but they do take a lot of practice to get used to doing them quickly, because as I've said before, paper two, you are pushed for time, so you need to get these done as soon as possible. So yeah, you are pushed for time, so you want to get these done so you can, you know, finish them and move on to the rest of your stuff. There is a lot of writing in them, so there's six questions altogether. Question 1 to 5 are general questions based on the text, and you literally copy and paste the answer straight from the text. You don't have to change the words. You literally just copy and paste from the text. It's so simple. Just find the word in the question, find that word in the text, and usually that's the answer. But yeah, obviously just be very careful there that you're using the correct part of the text to answer the question. And don't just think because it says one word in the question and one word in the text that that is the exact answer. Yeah, so yeah, obviously just timing is really important here. So, you know, some people do go down the path of, you know, highlighting the answer in the text and then rewriting that. I actually found that wasted a lot of time. So usually if you just stick your finger beside the answer in the text and then just copy that and write as quickly as you can. So it's that easy. It's it is just about flying through question 1 to 5 and then moving on to question 6. So question 6 has two parts, part A and B. Obviously parts 1 to 5 have two parts as well, but question 6 is slightly different. So part A in question 6 is a grammar question, so it's finding Sarah Breher in the text, or Sarah Breher, I'm sure Katja, something like that. Identify that in the text, or it might be the Tishal Ginnadoc, which again is very difficult. It's quite a complicated grammar tense, but try your best with it. But as I said, it's not worth that many marks. It's only one tiny part of the question, so don't worry about it too much. Question 6b is the one that everyone stresses about, because it always says at the end, id the uco fein, which just means in your own words, which a lot of people do get stressed out about, because you have to show that you understand the whole text and give an opinion and you can talk about it. But, you know, it's literally 4 lines. It doesn't have to be long. Try your best. Give your personal opinion. Use your, you know, opinion phrases. They're all in the Study Clicks flashcards. You can also find sample answers for question 6b underneath the question on the questions by topic page on Study Clicks. But so you can kind of get an idea of what's expected of you. But usually the questions end up being quite similar for this. You know, it's always about why do you think the author wrote this text or this article? You know, give your opinion about this thing in the article, or give 2 pieces of information about something. So describe 2 traits of, you know, they do kind of repeat themselves. So, you know, you're going to be using your opinion phrases like imahorum, darlum, whatever the case may be. You know, try your best. Use your own words. Don't just copy from the text. Yeah, you can reference, but I wouldn't directly quote from the text. And yeah, you'll be awarded for, you know, giving your own opinion about something.
I feel like lave teachings are something that you practice loads in class anyway, and the more you do of those, like, yeah, those opinion ones can be really daunting, but like the more you do them, again, with everything, you're using a lot of the same phrases again, and you can learn how to kind of reword some of the stuff, like you're not taking from it directly, but you're kind of putting what's already in the text into your own words. And yeah, basically you'll be doing loads of practicing loads of those in class, and you'll just get used to it. So there's no need to be like more worried about it than you need to be.
No, it's not something you need to stress over at all, because it's homework. Homework for this is your study. You do them for homework all the time. That is your study. So like for this, in this sense, this homework is so important because this is your study for 50% of paper two. It's so easy. 5 out of 6 questions you're copying straight from the text, and then one part of one question you're giving a little personal opinion. But at the end of the day, it's not that bad for 100 marks, for as many marks as your whole essay. And think of all the stress of your essay, and then this is the same amount of marks. You know, it really does put things into perspective.
So after the Capodort, you get into the Amnaha stuff, the stuff that you've prepared already. So what's next up after you do the Leif Tishkins?
So then you move on to your prose, which is question 2. Well, you have 2 options for your prose. Now, most people choose prose Annamnaha, which is part A. There is a part B, which is prose Raunach. Most people don't do this. Your teacher will tell you which one you're doing, but I feel like most people do prose Annamnaha instead of prose Raunach. So prose Annamnaha is your Herlamabuk, Gnarud, Ushinadirnanog, Dish, Kalkamelish. So there's 5 of them. Now, one comes up every year. I know there are some changes for the 2021 exams, just because of the students missing school a bit. So I think they have the choice between 2 prose texts, and there's 2 questions will come up. So you choose one. So only one comes up on the day, usually apart from 2021. So it's worth 30 marks. So usually it's one question. Sometimes it comes up as a 2-part question, so 2 15 markers. And for all the stress that's going into this question, reading the text, learning the characters, learning the story, learning the vocab, it's actually only worth 5% of your exam overall. The whole entire Irish grade, it's only 5%, which like, it really isn't that much. At the end of the day, you know, you have to decide, is it worth all this stress? You know, try your best. The questions generally tend to be the same year on year. I know An Gnarrod has never come up. I think there's a bit of conspiracy about that.
Yeah.
People don't know why it's never appeared yet. Everyone thought it was going to come up in 2019 when I did the exams, but it didn't actually make an appearance. But you know, that's not to say it won't ever come up, but yeah, it is a little bit suspicious that it's never been seen on the paper before.
Something about the author, I think, wasn't it? He did some dodgy stuff, I think, and
yeah,
they don't
know. Yeah, I don't think it was actually the author of Gnarrod. I think it was the author of I think there's another set of stories that some people do in the Raunach. Something like that, I'm not sure, but I think the other author did something a bit sketchy, so yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that
yeah,
might have
maybe
been
it'll come up one day.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, Gaffa, I think that's the one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But you never know, it could come up. We still need to study for it, because, you know, going off any other subject or any other prediction, if it hasn't appeared, it's kinda likely to come up this year. But again, we can't say for sure. But yeah, so there's 5 of them. If one has come up last year, chances are it's not going to come up this year. So, you know, it's kind of 4 that you need to study in depth. And then again, you know, you can make your predictions. But yeah, but as I said, the questions do tend to be quite repetitive in this section. Usually they're about a character or some event in the story. So knowing the events of the story, having the facts to back up your points, knowing the storyline, that's just an absolute must. And then obviously your characters and traits of the characters are really important too. And then also, you know, there's kind of nuances depending on the actual text. So I know for Usheen, you need to know the traits of Scaelta Bailidish, so your kind of storytelling back at that time. So it kind of depends on the text, but again, it's not that bad. 30 marks, 5%, you know, nothing to be stressed about, you know, if you're finding it very difficult.
Yeah, same goes for Kalkamelish, isn't it? That you have to know like the camera techniques and like film techniques and things
camera
like
techniques,
that.
Yeah, filming techniques.
Worth knowing the extra bits.
I was just going to say that over the summer we were working with an Irish teacher, and she was helping us break down some of the essays we have on the site, the sample answers, and she was going through what was good and maybe not so great about them. And obviously none of the essays on the side are bad, but she did point out that some of the essays are missing, you know, if it's a film, you need to talk about filming techniques or techniques that were used in the film that add to the suspense or, you know, help heighten the sense of tension. You know, in your Usheen Adirna No questions, you need to talk about the traits of Scaelta Bailidish or whatever it was, she was saying you need to, it's not just about telling the story, it's about backing it up with facts from the story and talking about how the story is told. So again, it's bringing your skills from English in as much as you can, if you want to get top marks in this question. But yeah, and of course spelling is important here too, but I suppose knowing the events of the story, knowing the facts and knowing the characters and then summing it up with simple language is, you know, will get you your marks.
I feel as well like the work, the way you prepare for that is your teacher sets work for you in class. There's not really any kind of studying that you do for it. Your teacher kind of prepares you for that section really well by like just setting homework where you have to describe people like, did you do Harlamabok, Aoife?
Yeah, we did.
Can I interrupt with a fun fact about Harlamabok?
Go on.
Of course.
So I remember studying this and being like, I felt this way about like 80% of the prose Amnaha, but I was like, what the hell is this? I knew it was like an excerpt from like a book, and the whole thing was just describing Lisín and like Lisín is Farfa and all this. And I was just like, this is such a weird book. I need more, like, to write about this in the exam, I need more context. So I checked it out of the library and I read the full book. I thought it might help me, you know, I thought it might be better for the Irish thing. Do you want to know what happens in the rest of that book?
Please.
It takes a turn.
I feel like I've been told this before, but...
It takes a really weird turn. So Lisín and the husband, Paul, they go off to Istanbul for their, some, I don't know, is it some anniversary or something? And they die in a car bomb.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Yeah, it gets so dark. And like the rest of the story is about the son and...
Ruan and Kuan, I think.
And so like, and he's not even that sad. Or, it's bizarre.
Oh God.
Loads of those, like we had to do Gaffa, and it's all like, again, you read like the first 8 chapters and it's about a young guy who gets into like the drug scene in Dublin, I think, and you like the only bit that you're supposed to read for the course is just like his mom basically worrying about him and finding out that he's doing this and blah blah blah, and then you don't read anymore. They basically tell you to like stop at chapter 8, but if you keep reading in the end, like it turns out that like the gang lords and the drug lords basically kill him and like send his head in a bag back to the mom. Like, why is that on the Irish syllabus for us teenagers?
We did two in TY, I think. One was called You Ming Asanamdum and Claire's Despair. I don't know, did you guys do those ones? But I remember the whole class were just in stitches laughing because, you know, this was the strangest thing. And it's on the curriculum for transition year Irish or whatever. Or like even Gnarra, the ending, everyone was so shocked. People were like, I was not expecting that to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are a little bit strange. I think even Cockamillish, people were nearly getting sick in class watching it. It was very, very strange and very disgusting.
It's just like, I imagine like the SEC boardroom and it's just like, right guys, we need to decide what's going to be on the Leaving Cert curriculum. And it's just like, how about this? So it's like, no, it's not deranged and really, really dark. It doesn't belong in the curriculum. Move on.
Yep, that's it.
There needs to be at least one death.
No. There needs to be one suspicious death.
Anyway, but like I feel like most of the stuff on the prose, or like a lot of what you've just said on the prose, you can kind of translate over to the next section, which is poetry. Obviously it's a bit different and the poems are a lot shorter, but in terms of like the way you write it is almost the same, or the type of questions that come up, like it's usually always about a theme or about an image.
Yeah.
And then once you practice and study that thing, it's kind of the same process.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly, it's basically the same. Again, these only go for 5% of your overall grade, so it's again not that much, and people still really stress over it even though it's only worth the smallest percent of your grade. And even if you only got half marks in this question, you've still got 2.5%. You know, you're only lost out 2.5%. So yeah, there's nothing to stress over. The one thing I will say is that 30 mark question, nearly always, unless it's Spalpeen, which we don't know the filla is, if it's any of the other 4 poems, nearly always a question is on the poet, and that's worth 9 marks. And it's the easiest 9 marks you'll ever get because you literally just learn it off. Little paragraph about the life and work of the poet, and it's so predictable, it comes up nearly every year. And the great thing about the poetry question is, you know, they're even easier than the prose question because they're actually a lot easier because they're so predictable. The questions repeat themselves year on year. You know, on Tharrakir, every single time that comes up, they always ask about images because the poem is full of images. If it's about, you know, if it's the question on Kolskara, because it's kind of a storytelling poem, they always ask about the events of the poem. Gavin, there's a big contrast in the poem. You know, how the poet is kind of represented by the animal. That always gets asked. So if you scroll back the years, you'll literally find that the questions do end up repeating themselves over and over again. So the same questions are coming up year on year. It's easy to predict, and it's really not that bad when you break it down. Obviously, your teachers probably, and I know my teacher did, we were given this like massive booklet for each poem, and there was so much information, so many new words. But at the end of the day, the questions are similar. Know the vocab, know how to say metaphor, know how to say contrast in Irish, know the vocab, know the story of the poem, and you're kind of good to go. And again, add those connector phrases in. Like I was saying for the essay, have the connecting phrases ready. Know how to say at the beginning of the poem. Know that when you say Egtus on Dawn, you have to use the Tishil Ginnadoc and put an I in Dawn, because, yeah, that's where you'll lose your marks. And it's these connecting phrases, the introduction, the conclusion, that you can use over and over again. So there's actually a lot more you can prepare for these than you think.
Amazing.
So then you moved on to question four, which is your literati fresha, which are worth slightly more than your poetry and your prose. So these are worth 40 marks, so about 6 or 7% of your overall grade. So again, everyone usually does a different text. I did on Triel. You know, some people do Thoriacht Yerma the August Grania, Gaffa, Canary Wharf, A Hignal Hit, or Dawn to Vresha, which I think are 5 more poems. I personally didn't want 5 more poems after question 3, so I didn't go near this one. But yeah, I did on Triel. It's a little bit longer than the other ones. I suppose it is a little bit daunting when you start this question, because, you know, we had to buy the text of the play and we were thinking, you know, how on earth am I going to read all this? It's a full book. But if you can get a summary of it, you know, get your hands on a summary, know the key points, know the key moments, know the characters, and then just, it's basically the same as prose. Answer it the same way. Tell the story of the text in your answer. Reference techniques, reference the characters, you know, use quotation if you can, and it's not that bad.
That's good. I remember we did the poems, actually, the extra poems. Like, our teacher was just like, oh, I don't want you learning anything else. The poems are better. I don't think we didn't really get a say in it. Did you get, like, to choose yourself? Or was it like your teacher kind of guided you?
So our teacher, our whole school did on Triel, but I know a few of my friends did Grinds outside school, and their teacher kind of encouraged them to do the Dawn to Brescia, because apparently they're a lot easier. But they might be easier, I'm sure. They might have been easier. But I suppose on the day, I think what happened was the poem that the grand teacher said was going to come up didn't end up coming up.
Oh,
so I think for me, I was just a bit scared that one of the Dawns of Russia that I had studied wasn't going to come up. So that's why I was happy to stick with Ontario, because it was just a little bit more predictable. I could have moved, got the notes for the other poems and done it myself, but I think I was happy enough to stick with Ontario. And the thing about Ontario is, it's different to Deesh or Cockamelish, where nothing's really happening. You know, a lot is happening in Ontario and it is more interesting.
It's very sad, isn't it? I think I went to see a play of it.
Yeah, so it's basically about this girl who, she gets pregnant, and the dad is a married man. And at the time, obviously, in Ireland, that was, you know, number one, unheard of, but also number two, the worst thing you could ever, ever do. At the time, it was a sin. The church had such a big role in society at the time. So it's kind of about society at the time. She was thrown out of her home. She had to move to Dublin and work in a factory by herself. And loads of other stuff happens, basically. But yeah, I don't want to ruin it in case no one has read the story yet. But yeah, it actually is interesting. It is a lot more, you know, interesting than the others. You actually might enjoy it as far as enjoying learning a text can go for Leaving Cert. But when it is interesting, I actually feel like you remember more. I feel like, remember, like for Deesh, nothing's really happening. The whole story, it's literally just describing two people. Whereas, like, you know, and then you finish it and you're like, wait, what even happened? Nothing happened. I don't know what to learn.
I hated Deesh so much.
I still don't understand what happened. Like, why was the clock ticking? Why was he... Did he even listen? Was she pregnant or wasn't she pregnant? I have no idea. Like, I still have no idea.
I can't believe it's still on the curriculum.
I know. And you have to, like, find all these hidden meanings. Yeah. And you're, like, trying to find metaphors and hidden meanings. And you're like, there is nothing. Nothing happened. But yeah, I suppose on the day of the exam, you have to just pretend you know your stuff and find, tell the examiner that you loved it, you found it so interesting and exciting, and I'm sure the examiner found it riveting too.
Can you imagine if the author was listening?
Oh. Apologies to the author.
Oh no.
We start getting hate mail.
Sorry.
But is that it then for paper two?
That's it on paper two. Yeah. I know. Again, as I said, timing is... it is tight for time on paper two. There is a lot to do. Two Leifishkins, they're long. You're writing three essays on, you know, a poem and two texts. And your poetry, you know, you say it's one question, but there's actually three questions within your poetry. Sometimes there's two questions within your prose. So yeah, it does sound like a lot, but just divide your time based on how the marks are allocated. Now, I actually don't think you need half of the exam for the Leifishkins. I think you could get them done a lot quicker. And again, as I said, practice, you'll get faster as the more you practice. And obviously spend a little bit more time on your Litio Expressa, because your answer is expected to be slightly longer than your poetry, just because it is worth more marks. So I think the order I did it in was Leifishkins, because obviously that's worth a lot of marks. Then I did Filiocht, because I found that was kind of quick and easy to do, because it was quite predictable. And then I moved on to prose, and then Litio Expressa. So yeah, I hope that, you know, breaking that down, if people are listening, that, you know, it sounds a little bit less daunting when you break the whole exam down by percentage. I know that's how I got my head around it. That's how I studied for it, because, you know, I didn't go to a Gaelic school. I didn't go to a Gaelic school primary school. I learned Irish from scratch. I didn't really have, you know, well, my mum is a primary school teacher, but at the same time, her level of Irish wouldn't have been anywhere near what was expected of us at Leaving Cert. So I suppose I didn't have all the help at home that maybe other people did. So I did it totally independently. So I broke it down in kind of such a way that I could manage it and get through the paper and not feel like I was totally out of my comfort zone. So I found that breaking it down by percentage, finding the areas that were important, knowing how to study for those areas, how to study for the unstudiable questions. And that really helped me do well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so impressive, actually, because I feel like I owe a lot to the fact that, like, I got good results in Irish in the Leaving Cert, and I owe that to the fact that I went to a Gaelic school, like, and, like, you're doing all your other subjects in Irish too, bar English, of course, and that, like, having that additional stuff does really help. So all that advice coming from you, from, like, someone who just kind of self-taught, like, did, like, all the extra bit yourself, immersing yourself in the language, and you managed to get the top marks, that's kind of, like, what other people need to hear if they're struggling.
Yeah, and that's not to say that if people listening are in the Gaeltacht, that, you know, or if they live in Gaeltacht areas, or if they go to a Gael school, that's still not to say that the Irish exam is still easy. There's still a lot in it. There's still a lot to learn. There's still an essay. You still have to, you know, learn a lot. But no matter what level of Irish you have, there's still a lot in the exam. You still have to know how to approach it. But breaking it down, I think, is the best way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that affects both Gaelic school and non-Gaelic school students is vocab and grammar, because obviously vocab and grammar for non-Gaelic school students is easy already, but then for Gaelic school students, or at least like our experience, I'm not sure unless you agree, but I think it's like when you're speaking it from a young age, you don't actually learn it properly. So you end up with this kind of like mishmash, not actually correct, and you'll get docked marks for using it, like spelling being that's wrong true. Or like not properly knowing the Tishil Gaeltacht and things like that. So we were always hammered down on for that in school, because we never actually properly learned that until like sixth year. So like what would you have done? What were your top tips for both learning vocab and grammar? Because I think like that's something that's a very universal struggle and not something that everyone really understands how to get a proper grasp on the grammar and how to just keep on top of learning the vocab, because there's so many words.
Yeah, for sure. So I did go to the Gaeltacht a couple of times, and I found that, same as you, you know, when you're kind of speaking it all the time, you get a little bit lazy with it. I suppose we said mwid a lot. Instead of saying cunnic amur in like the we form in the past tense, we just said cunnic mwid, which again is totally wrong. So in Irish then I'd be writing cunnic mwid, and then my teacher would be saying, you know, why are you doing that? That's not right. That's not proper grammar. And I was lucky enough in first year to have a really, really good Irish teacher who taught us grammar really, really well. And she taught us just like the tenses. I'm sure Kacha, I'm sure Loyrock, I'm sure Oshinok, your Serbreacher, your Mochanilach, the things you use over and over again. And the quicker and the better you are at using those, the better you'll be at Irish. You know, there's hardly a sentence that goes by that you don't use a verb in. So knowing your verbs, knowing the meanings of different verbs, is really important. Like, they love that on the Irish exam, to use, you know, instead of saying one kind of simple verb, they might use a slightly different verb that means the same thing, just to catch you out. But if you know the meanings of your verbs and you know them really well, you know, you won't fall down there. Yeah, so obviously your verbs are really important, but I suppose you've been kind of learning them since junior cert. Like, a lot of the junior cert paper is kind of testing, you know, your general knowledge of grammar and verbs and stuff. So, you know, if anyone's listening who's doing their junior cert at the moment, you know, I would really, you know, recommend to learn your most basic grammar. At Leaving Cert, you're not being, you know, they're not looking for you to have like fluent Irish at all. Like, you know, there wouldn't be an exam if they thought everyone was fluent in Irish. You're not expected to be fluent, but they are expecting you to have like the basic grammar, good level of vocabulary, and, you know, if you write simple, correct sentences, you will get your marks. And then if you always use your simple grammar and then throw in a nice phrase or a nice simple bit of, or a nice piece of vocab, that will really up your marks because it will look really impressive. You know, practicing writing your essays for your Cappadocia section, practicing writing them yourself, you'll actually pick up a lot of vocab from doing that. Reading other people's Irish is also really great. You know, in terms of vocab, I think I read, so what I did was I read the scripts of all the listening exams after I'd practiced each one. I'd highlight the words I didn't understand and learn that way. You know, there's apps online that you can make quiz sets, or you can do flashcards with different pieces of vocab, and you can test yourself that way. You know, in the Leifishkind, if there's a word you don't know, highlight it, pop it in a vocab copy, and you can get good at your vocab that way. So yeah, they're kind of my tips for grammar and vocab. And I think that if you combine the two, you know, you're in a good place.
Yeah, I think a good practice that you can like include your friends in as well, if they're willing. Like, I know some people are like, oh, I don't want to speak Irish to my friends. But like, what I found was really cool for learning languages was, if I wanted to get to that level where like I felt like I could talk like myself and I wasn't just talking like someone, a robot writing an essay, is instead of writing to them in English, I would write to them in Irish, or even like I might write to them in English, but at the same time I'll have my notebook next to me and I'll try writing it down in Irish on the notebook and see this sentence that I usually say to my friend, which is totally colloquial and exactly normal as I would speak in English, can I say that same thing in Irish? And the goal was always to be able to speak the same way in Irish that I speak in English. And you realize very quickly what you do and don't know when you try and do it that way. And then like, kind of like the same as reading the transcripts, like every time you reach a word that you don't know, you write it down. And it's the same for grammar. Like, if you don't know how to say in front of the or whatever, then you go and learn it, you go learn that you need to include the tishilginidug or if it's relevant or whatever. Yeah. So you find what works for you, I suppose. But I think definitely that vocab, having a vocab book, is really important. And like you said, the verbs are really important, especially the irregular ones.
Yeah, definitely. And I know, like, obviously with the pandemic at the moment, there was no Gaeltacht in 2020. But if you do get the opportunity to go to the Gaeltacht, or if you do have the opportunity to do Irish grinds, or if there's someone in your family that can speak Irish, by all means, talk to them. You know, the more you speak it, the better you get, the quicker it comes, the more natural it sounds. And remember, like, I know we haven't talked that much about the oral exam, but that is 40% of your marks. It's a huge amount of your marks. You need to be comfortable speaking Irish if you want to do well in the exam, or, you know, get a H1 in the exam. And actually, one thing that I find really funny about the Irish exam, you get more marks for reading your poem in the oral exam than you do for writing about it. Yeah. In paper two. So you get more marks for reading, yeah, the poem than writing about it. And, you know, some people don't even practice reading the poems, even though that's worth 40 marks. Or 35 marks, I think it's 35 marks. But yeah, it's combining all of your knowledge, you know, combine what you already know, figuring out what you don't know, and then focusing on that and trying to improve that way. I think that's the best strategy and approach, I think.
Yeah, and like, that's a lot. And just like summarizing it there, it does seem like a lot. I'm kind of like, geez, if I had to go back and do all of that now, that's a lot to cover. But I think, you know, the way that you broke it down, and that is the key, just like breaking everything down. Obviously, don't try to tackle everything in one go. It is something that you know, this is going to be released in October, so if you're listening to it in 6 years, you still have plenty of time if you're listening to it a bit later, it might be a bit late to start from scratch now, yeah. But like, you know, if you are listening in October, then do take the advice now to like start now, because it's not something that's easy to cram. And no. It goes with every language subject. Like, you just can't really cram language subjects. It's something that you need to put in a lot of time over a long period of time.
Yeah. And the thing about languages is, it's not something, obviously, you can learn overnight. It's not something you can really cram for the night before. Oh, obviously, you can cram for like the key moments in a story or key pieces of information about a poet, but you can't really study it overnight. So it is about, you know, kind of slow and steady strategy. But at the same time, they're not expecting you to know absolutely everything. Like I've said this before, if you knew everything, they wouldn't be testing you on it. So they're not going to expect you to know every single word. You haven't studied it in college yet, so don't think that you need to know absolutely everything, but know what's relevant, know your basics, and then build on that, and that's all they're looking for at the end of the day.
So I think that pretty much covers it. I don't think I have anything else to add. I think you kind of really summed up nicely, Aoife, and kind of like really, like Eimear said, broke it down really well, because after listening to this whole podcast, you'd be like, oh my goodness, that is so much. But having heard it all broken down like that, really does make it sound so much more manageable. So I'd say we'll let you go. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Aoife. It's so nice having another guest on and listening to your expertise.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We'll see if we can get you on another time.
Yes, Aoife is an expert in more than one subject, so she'll be back on another podcast to give more excellent tips.
Exactly. Before we go, a reminder that you can leave a review for the podcast. Give it 5 stars on the iTunes store if you have the time. Leave a nice review. It would make our day. If you have any suggestions or questions for us, you can email info@studyclicks.com or you can reach us through any of our social media. So we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Snapchat, we're on Twitter, and excitingly, we're now on TikTok. It's the first time I can say this. And probably not the best platform for messaging us, but definitely follow us on all the social medias that you have. Great way of staying in touch and having like the study tips and just general fun stuff. So yeah,
that's another podcast done and dusted. Thanks again so much, Aoife, for joining us. And stay tuned, everyone who's listening. We'll be back with another podcast soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.